Let us pray for the Lord's blessing on the reading and preaching of His Word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask now that You would send the Holy Spirit upon us to give us eyes to see and ears to hear of the glorious riches of Your grace that are given to us in our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. If you would turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 21. John chapter 21. John chapter 21, we'll begin reading at verse 15. And if you also turn with me in the back of your Trinity Psalter hymnal to page 881. Page 881, we'll be looking at Lord's Day 23. But first, looking at God's Word from John chapter 21, beginning at verse 15, and we'll continue reading through verse 17. John chapter 21, beginning at verse 15. Hear now the Word of our God. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him again a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Looking at Lord's Day 23, Lord's Day 23, after the explanations of the Apostles' Creed, we then come to Lord's Day 23, which is one of the most important Lord's Days in the Catechism, and you can remember that because it's the 23rd one, which of course is the same number as the greatest basketball player of all time, Michael Jordan. But anyways, Lord's Day 23, question answer 59 asks, "But how does it help you now that you believe all this? Answer, that I am righteous in Christ before God and an heir to life everlasting." Question answer 60 asks, "How are you righteous before God?" "Only by true faith in Jesus Christ. Even though my conscience accuses me of having grievously sinned against all God's commandments, of never having kept any of them, and of still being inclined toward all evil, nevertheless, without any merit of my own, out of sheer grace, God grants and credits to me the perfect satisfaction, righteousness, and holiness of Christ, as if I had never sinned nor been a sinner, and as if I had been as perfectly obedient as Christ was obedient for me, if only I accept this gift with a believing heart." Question answer 61 asks, "Why do you say that through faith alone you are righteous?" Answer, "Not because I please God by the worthiness of my faith, for only Christ's satisfaction, righteousness, and holiness are my righteousness before God. And I can receive this righteousness and make it mine in no other way than by faith alone." Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, we come to this pivotal conversation between Jesus and Peter. It is a conversation that has huge implications for Peter in his life, but also for us in ours. It is one that gives great comfort and assurance to us, but also shows us the glorious heart of our Savior. Before we get into the passage specifically, first I want us to zoom out and to think about what is Jesus doing here in this conversation. Why the three questions? Certainly we see the connection here between these three questions and Peter's three denials of Jesus. So what is our Lord doing to Peter by asking him three times, "Do you love me?" Well, he's essentially doing three things. He's first dealing with Peter's guilt. Second, he's giving Peter an opportunity to profess his faith and love for him. And third, he is restoring Peter before all as an apostle. And so as we're going through each of these three questions, keep that in mind, that our Lord Jesus is giving great love and care to Peter here and dealing with his guilt and doubt over his sin and denial of Jesus. Jesus, in this conversation, three times asked Peter, "Do you love me?" But he doesn't say what we might expect Jesus to say. He does not say, "Peter, do you love me?" Instead, Jesus says, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" Notice Jesus does not call him Peter, but the name, which was the name that Jesus had given to him. But instead, he calls him by his birth name, Simon. And the reason for that is significant. As we know, the names in the Bible all carry with them meanings, and significant meanings. We see that also as we're looking at the passage, you notice in verse 15, John records that Jesus said to Simon Peter. And so you see that John is recording, we're making sure here which Peter and which Simon we're talking about here. But also showing forth that Peter is still Peter, but Jesus has a time of confession and profession with Peter in order to restore him. And he starts by calling him Simon, son of Jonah. Those two names, Simon and Jonah, are incredibly important. Because Jesus here is poking at the heart of Peter and prodding him to see his desperate need of grace. The name Simon means to hear or listen. And Jonah means dove. And this should immediately cause our minds to think back to the baptism of Jesus, where the Holy Spirit descended as a dove. And also understand, recall to our minds what Paul says in Romans 10. How does faith come to us? It comes by hearing. In other words, in this simple address to Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, Jesus is saying to Peter, you remember who you are. You are born again by the Spirit of God. And you were not born again by any great feat of strength, or that you yourself are a rock which is what Peter means. But if Peter, you're going to be a foundation stone in the building of the church by your testimony as an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, you have to understand that it is only because of the sovereign saving work of God in your life. The life that you now have is because and only because of the Holy Spirit causing you to be born again by uniting you to me. And the way the benefits of this union took place is because the Holy Spirit gave you ears to hear. This is who you are, Simon, son of Jonah. You are a born-again Christian. You notice here, Jesus is not seeking to cause Peter distress or doubt. He even starts off his line by questioning and reminding Peter of his love for him and who he is. He is a redeemed saint. And then we see in the first question, a difference from the other two. To finish that first question that we see there, Jesus says, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? More than these. What does the these refer to? Does it refer to Peter, do you love me more than the other disciples love me? Peter, do you love me more than these fish and fishing? Or, as you know with pastors, oftentimes when they give you a list, the right answer is the last one. Well, this is the right one. Peter, do you love me more than you love the other disciples? Do you love me first? In other words, am I first in your life, Peter? Do you love me above all else? And Peter replies, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus then says, feed my lambs. And two more times Jesus asks the same question. Peter gives the same response and Jesus gives a similar charge. However, there are small differences in each of these responses, which we'll get to in a moment. And so we have seen that Jesus starts each question in a way that reminds Peter of who he is. A born-again child of God who hears the voice of the Good Shepherd. And we also know the purpose of the questions that Jesus gives here. He is asking Peter these questions to give him an opportunity to confess his sin and profess his faith and love for Christ and to give him assurance of his restoration. So right from the beginning of the question, Jesus is giving love and assurance to Peter, but also all the way through this whole conversation. So now we get to the middle, the response of Peter. And this is where things get really interesting. Because there are two different Greek words for love that are used here in this passage. The first one I'm sure you're familiar with. It is the word agape. Or it's used in the Greek verb form, which you don't need to know. But it's agape. That's the type of love that is used here in this passage in some of the cases. And it means the covenant, faithful, and unconditional love, and mostly used of the love of God. The second kind of love that is mentioned in this passage is phileo love, which is the love that one has for a close family member. You can think of the city of Philadelphia. It's called what? The city of brotherly love. That's literally what it means. So which of these words are used where? Well, the first two questions that Jesus asks, he uses agape. He asks, do you agape love me? The third question that Jesus asks, he says, do you phileo me? What is also interesting is that Peter, in all three of the responses, says, yes, Lord, you know that I phileo you. So what is the significance of this? I don't mean many as in the majority, but I mean quite a number of theologians have come to the conclusion that there is no significance to the different words that are used here, since John in particular will use both words somewhat interchangeably. And I've wrestled with this question for over a decade now, and I do feel like I'm getting at least a little closer to the answer than when I first began. So that's good. But I do not think that these words used by Jesus and recorded for us by John are just interchangeable. I've had a hard time believing that there is no intended purpose for this quite substantial and noticeable difference between the two words and where they are placed in this conversation. So if there is an intended difference between these two words in this conversation, what then would be the purpose? And it would be this: that this is an opportunity for confession and profession. Jesus is asking Peter the two times if he agape loves him. He's asking Peter if Peter loves him as he has loved him. In other words, Jesus has always loved Peter with an agape love. Peter knows this. But Peter here must admit that his love falls short of Christ's love for him. His love for Christ is not unconditional love. It's not exactly the same. It doesn't meet that standard of perfection. However, Peter is able to say, as we are all able to say, I love you, Jesus, as my Lord and my God. It is not a perfect love. You know that, Jesus. You know all things, but you also know that I do love you as my Lord, my God, and my elder brother. You are family to me, even though I am still sinful and cannot love you as I ought. Jesus then, in asking the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you phileo love me? Is then you can see him condescending down to Peter's level and essentially saying, I know you can't agape love me as I have loved you. But all that I require of you is phileo love, because I know you are not perfect yet. And so we can see clearly Christ's love and kind compassion given to Peter at the beginning of each question, and even in the middle, we can see the love and compassion that Jesus has for Peter and for all of us as he asks that question, and in the middle of each of the three sections, because he allows Peter to confess his sin, but also profess his faith and love for Christ. Peter has publicly denied Jesus three times. And now Peter is given an opportunity to publicly, and in the hearing of the other disciples, he is given the opportunity to publicly declare that he believes in and loves Jesus as Lord. And we see that this is certainly the case in Peter's final statement in verse 17. We're told that Peter was grieved in his heart because Jesus asked him a third time, and he says again, but with greater trust in the supernatural power of Christ, Lord, you know all things. You don't just know that I love you, you know all things. You know that I love you. Peter is thus able to realize what Jesus is doing. He's grieved over his sin. He knows what his denials have done. But he is still reminded he is Simon, son of Jonah, the listener born again of the dove, the Holy Spirit, and thus is given opportunity to profess his love and faith for Jesus, and Jesus restores him as Peter, the rock. We don't mean that, of course, in the Roman Catholic sense of he's the first pope, but we mean that in the sense of he is an apostle. And it is by his testimony that the church is built, which is why the foundations of the New Jerusalem are what? The 12 apostles. It is upon their testimony that the church is built. But now we come to the final part of each of the three sections. Jesus reinstates Peter as an apostle, recommissioning him for service in his kingdom. And in each of the three recommissionings, we see that there are small variations which communicate to us small yet important differences in the call that is given to Peter in which he is reinstated. Jesus, in all three of these reinstallments, is essentially saying, if you love me, Peter, as you have just professed, then you must also love my flock. This is not just given to pastors and leaders in the church. This is true for all of us. If we love the shepherd, we must also love the sheep. If we love the head of the church, we must also love the body. But Peter, an apostle and leader in the church of Christ, is given a specific task that is then given to pastors and elders in the church. And it's sort of sad that I'm only one for three of the elders sitting here this afternoon. But I guess we'll have them listen to the recording. But Peter, an apostle and leader in the church of Christ, is given a specific task. But before we get to that, there's one more general truth that we glossed over. But we need to see here in these reinstallments we see in the church, we see the church is Christ's church. It's Christ's church. It's his sheep. The church is not the pastor's church. It is not the consistory's church. It isn't the congregation's church. We can use that language of our church in the sense that we belong to a local body of Christ, but not in the sense that we own it. We must always remember that. It's so important because as soon as we think we own the church is then our church in the sense that we will seek to move the church to serve us because we think we own it. And move the church away from the true owner of it, the Lord Jesus Christ. We certainly see a lot of that in our contemporary North American Christian culture, don't we? In the town I grew up in, there were signs put up. I love my church. Really? It's your church? the church is Christ's flock. We must remember to whom the church belongs, to whom we belong. Now, first, and never to be neglected, as we see in Christ's recommissionings here of Peter, we see that the leaders of Christ's church are to feed Christ's lambs. These are the weak and most vulnerable of Christ's sheep. These are the new Christians, but also the Christians that are babies in the faith. They are to be cared for just the same as the rest. They are going to take up more of your time. Yes, they're going to be a pain sometimes because they do dumb things and eat poisonous things sometimes. Yes. But Jesus says to Peter and to all the leaders of the church, feed my lambs. Second, we see Jesus says, tend my sheep. We could translate it as, shepherd my sheep. And here Jesus is saying to Peter and to all the leaders of his church, shepherd all the flock of God to me, especially the ones that are troubled, the ones that are constantly wanting to go astray, the ones that are constantly putting themselves in harm's way. You maybe have seen the meme on the internet of the sheep that they've stuck in a hole, and the shepherd goes and he pulls the sheep out of the hole, and then what does the sheep do once it's out of the hole? It just dives right back into the hole again. And we can't just say, well, good luck this time. Just as Jesus went after the one lost sheep, so we must constantly be ready to help the stubborn sheep that constantly want to go astray. We have to defend them with the rod of faith and direct them with the staff of love. And third, we see Jesus says, feed my sheep. Peter and all the leaders of the church are to feed the sheep of Christ with good food. What is that good food? What is the green pastures and the still waters? The leaders of Christ's church are always to feed Christ's people with Christ. With Christ himself as given us by the Holy Gospel revealed to us in his Holy Word. And so it is to be the whole of Christ as well. Not just the parts of him that we like. Not just an intellectual assent to what is true. But as leaders of Christ's church, we must feed God's people with all of him. And we as God's people must be wanting to partake of all of him. And so these then are the questions that we must answer for ourselves. And I'll start with questions for the leaders of the church and then questions for everyone. First for the leaders, are we ready and willing to feed all of God's people no matter how small and no matter how difficult they might be with all of Christ? Even the truths of Christ that they do not like. Are you ready to discipline and admonish and do the hard work of confronting sheep that have gone astray and go after them? To give them sincere warnings of the sin and destruction that they are going after in their lives. And give them genuine calls of repentance to come back to the Good Shepherd. The one who has laid down his life for them. And now the questions for everyone. Are you ready to eat of Christ? Are you ready not only to hold everything about him taught in the Bible is true, but also that you believe in his promises, you trust in him for salvation, and you hope in him for eternal rest? Are we hungry for him? Are we like a deer that pants after the water brooks? Do we want Christ and we want all of him? We all have the temptation, and you know it's there. We all have the temptation to have a long-distance relationship with Jesus. We'll correspond with him once in a while. And we have the temptation of thinking what we would like him to be rather than he actually is. Do we want Jesus? Do we want the whole of him? Do we want him not just as Savior of our lives, but Lord of all of it? Are we ready to come to Christ and be fed by him and reject all of the poisonous plants of this world? That we would go to God in his word and we would see Jesus and feed upon the green pastures of his word. Are we hungry for him? Do we long to be with him? Does his rod and his staff give us comfort? Or would we rather run away? Brothers and sisters, may we all long to be with our shepherd. May we all long to grow and walk nearer and nearer to him. May we constantly feed upon him and find that in him he is truly our all in all. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you know that left to ourselves, we would seek to feed ourselves only with sin, just as Adam and Eve did in the garden. That we would feed ourselves with the lies of Satan. But we ask, O Lord, that you would feed and nourish our souls with the truth. And we know that that truth is a person. It is our Lord Jesus Christ. Feed us, O Lord, with him. Satisfy our souls. Nourish us and strengthen us for this week ahead. That we in all of life would seek to serve you and glorify you and enjoy you. Please, O Lord, we pray that you would help us to see our need of Christ all the more and to see how he satisfies every single need we have, body and soul, in life and in death. And so, O Lord, we praise you that it is to him that we belong, and that even in our times of confession and sin, we see your gentle care for us, constantly reminding us of the gospel and of your great love for us, your agape love for us, your unconditional and covenantally faithful love. We love you, O Lord, now, and we look forward to that day when we will love you in perfection. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.